If ever I love thee, my Jesus, it's now. It starts now. There's some sort of an invitation there, discreet as it may be. Now, do I love Jesus now? Many of us were baptized way back when, and boy, there's been a lot of water under the bridge, and some of us may just need to relook at the picture of what's gone past and say, my Jesus, I love you now, today. I'm ready now, and I want to be baptized. So we're moving into our picnic, and we have a baptism coming up. I want to talk about baptism this weekend next. And maybe refresh a little bit of what that means and how important it is. And I hope whatever's going through your heart and your mind, and I'll be honest with you, I've had several already ask me questions about it that were baptized at some point back in their life. And they seem to have a different perspective of life and of Christ, and they've grown and things have happened, and they're able right now, they're just saying, I know I love Jesus now, and I really think I need to be baptized now. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So if you've never been baptized, or you have been baptized, but you have this flame in your heart, you have this thing in there, maybe it's a troubling flame, I want to give you some scriptures in the next 2 weeks to help you sort it out with your Savior. And hopefully you say, my Jesus, I love you now. I love you now. So the passage I want to share today is in Matthew chapter 3. And we're going to look at the story. We're going to look at Jesus' baptism himself. And I'll just tell you, there's some rich, rich stuff here. There's some stuff here that we read through and go by and sometimes just leave at the table. This is an amazing story. John the Baptist was preaching and preparing, and he had not yet baptized Jesus, but it was his ministry. He went down to the Jordan and he baptized people. He went into the Jordan River and he stuffed them under the water for the remission of sins. His baptism was a baptism of repentance. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptist speaking. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So that's the prelude. That's John the Baptist preparing us for the coming Savior, the Mighty One. He says his baptism is one of repentance. He's in the river, and he dunks them under for remission or repentance toward their sin. And he says that Jesus will come and baptize you with the Spirit and with fire. And with fire. So you're going to get dunked, completely dunked in the Holy Spirit. You're going to have it all. I mean, not a little bit of you, all of you. It's coming over you. And he baptizes with fire. Now, what's that mean? The fire in the scripture is always a picture of purification, of judgment, of cleansing, of some sort of cleansing fire, a purifying fire, a judging fire. If you don't take the cleansing blood, you get the cleansing fire. It's always that picture in the scripture. And John doesn't leave us in the dark. He tells us really clearly, as a matter of fact, his winnowing fork, he has a pitchfork, and he has a threshing floor. If this platform were his threshing floor, they would cut down all the wheat and pile it up over here, and then he would take his pitchfork and he would go into it and throw it up in the air, and the wind would blow the chaff over here, and the wheat would all stay here in this pile. And he says he's going to clear the floor. Every bit of everything that's harvested is going into one pile or another, and Jesus will do that. And his Spirit will engulf, immerse those that are the wheat, but the fire will consume. They'll be baptized in the fire and consume that. He says his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Okay? So we know what's going to happen here. Jesus is coming, and this is his ministry. And John says, I'm baptizing you for your sins, to repent of your sins, because I want you in the wheat pile, not in the chaff pile. I want you in the Holy Spirit immersion, not in the fire immersion, because the Savior's coming, and his ministry is one of separating Holy Spirit and fire. It's pretty simple, pretty self-explanatory. It's right there. And he tells us that you're either going to be eternal fruit or eternal fuel. Okay? We're either going to be eternal fruit. The fruit of it is the wheat, right? That wheat at the top. You're going to be gathered into the barn, into the kingdom, and you're going to be eternal fruit of Jesus Christ, or you're going to be eternal fuel for an unquenchable fire. And I'm baptizing you for your sins, to repent of your sins, because I want you over here, because he's coming and we got to get ready to come. So I'm baptizing you because I want you here. Now, how does that work? How do you have an unquenchable fire? It's that place that I call hell, and some of you know that word's not in the Bible, and so you won't use that word, and you call it what you want to call it. It's unquenchable fire. It never goes out. What I know, what I do know, is that I started a campfire this weekend, and I piled wood up, and I put paper under it, and I lit it, and that thing burned. And when we went in the house, there was very little left. There was some red coal there. When I went in the house, and when I got up the next morning, that wood had burned up, and the fire was out. The fuel was gone, and the fire was out. And I do know that last First Friday, Harry cooked us a lot of hot dogs, and I have seen on occasion when the tank, that propane tank, runs out of fuel, Harry can't cook no more. The fire goes out. I do know that. So there's got to be fuel for this unquenchable fire. Now, how's that happen? Is there anything in the Bible like that? I mean, how is this possible? Well, yes, it's possible. Think with me. You know the guy named Moses. He went and saw a bush that was burning, and it never was consumed. And God was in the bush. God's going to raise us up eternal. We just talked about that in our communion. Jesus' body went into the grave and he rose up. He's eternal and he's healed and his body's eternal. And you and I are going to be raised eternal. Eternal fruit. Somehow, it's not this body. My body's going to be raised, but I'm going to be raised eternal. And my body's never going to die. It's never going to corrupt. It's never going to break. Or I'm never going to have a black eye like Irene. I'm just always going to be healthy. Or I'm going to be raised with an eternal body that's kind of like that bush. And the fire is unquenchable because I become eternal fuel. The fire never goes out because I have an eternal body that just like that bush that Moses stood before, that holy ground, that bush just keeps burning and burning and burning. And so we are either going to be eternal fruit or eternal fuel. And John says, I'm baptizing you for your sins, for you to repent, for you to turn from that and turn to Jesus. So you'd be eternal fruit of the Savior. And I really want this group of people, I really want this family of believers, I really want us to start something entirely new in church community in 2017. I really want us to change the whole thought and the whole concept about this word repent. Because that's in church today in America, this word repent is really just this ugly, uncomfortable word. Our church doesn't even use that anymore. I don't read that. I don't talk like that. It scares people off. I want this community of people to start something fresh and new that says, I embrace repent. It's a good thing to repent. Do you know why? Because when you repent, you don't become eternal fuel. You repent, you're always forgiven because Jesus died for that. It's not a 50-50. It's a done deal. Repent is good. Repent is love. Repent is God. Repent is great. Repent means, yes, you get to go be with Jesus. Repent. Look at your life differently. Approach your life differently. Look at Jesus differently. But in our church, in Cornerstone Christian Fellowship, repentance is beautiful. Embrace it. Run to it. Get all over it. We repent because it's God showing his love to us in his son. I don't care what your church says, but we love repent. You will be unique if you do that. Repent is awesome. Hey, Dave, can I talk about you this morning? I won't talk behind your back. I'll talk right here in front of you. Amen. He's going to be baptized, him and Crystal, because they gave their life to Christ. And they're repenting. Dave gave me some material a week ago that was not good material for him, entertainment, media material. Amen? He's not ashamed to say it. He gave it to me and said, get rid of this. Dave had visitors at his house this weekend. They weren't good visitors. They wanted to come into his house and do things that weren't good. You know what Dave did? He pointed them to the door. Amen? He's repenting. They're repenting. That's all good. See, why are we clapping? Because nobody uses repent anymore. That's an ugly word. I hate repent. Terry, don't talk about repent. We don't repent. Jesus is like, no, we repent. And we love it when people repent. It's beautiful. Hey Dave, you're not eternal fuel anymore. You're eternal fruit, brother. Say no. And they still need our prayers and our love. We all do. Because we're all going to have a chance to repent. We're going to have a chance to make it right, to do the right thing. He's going to get baptized, and he's going to go under the water to show that Dave and Crystal died to the old Dave and Crystal. I see we're laying dead under this water. Terry, you're holding me down. And the bubbles are getting smaller. Nope, I let him back up. But we died to that old man. He died to that old Dave. She died. Terry's going to get baptized. Huh? Amen. Amen. That's right. He died. He's going to get baptized. He's going to say, I want to show you I'm dead. The old Dave died, and I'm up, and now I used to be eternal fuel. Now I'm eternal fruit. We're new. We're new. That's repent. That's baptized. That's what John says. Jesus is, he says, I'm preparing. I'm getting it ready for this. And this is what it is. Now, he spoke of Jesus before Jesus came, but he spoke of the end of Jesus' life too, didn't he? The mighty one's coming, and the mighty one at the end of it all is going to clear his threshing floor. One pile or another. So here's the beginning, and here's the end. This is the ministry of Jesus. And God loves us so much. That's why Jesus came. Because he is going to clear that threshing floor. It is going to happen. And repentance is beautiful. And that's why John was called, even back into the Old Testament, they quote it and they say, you're the one that said, prepare the way of the Lord. This is how you do it. Repent. Repent. So we're going to baptize people for repentance and new life. The old guy died. I'm a new person. I'm a new person now. And I have new life. The mighty one has come. And how surprised John the Baptist was when there comes Jesus. And John's down in the Jordan River. Now, I want you to run the video in your mind right here. John is in the river. I don't know how high the water was. But John's in the river dunking people. And here comes Jesus, the mighty one, walks out into the water up to John and says, I want you to baptize me. And this scripture, let me read it to you. Matthew 3:13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. Verse 14, John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so, for thus it's fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. So how surprised was John proclaiming the mighty one's coming for the mighty one to walk into the water, into the Jordan River and say, baptize me. Now here's what happened. This is what happened. You know that when we're down in Lake Wabee, and I'm out in the water with Eldon and our elders, and we're baptized. You can't hear. You see that we're talking to the person we're about to, but you can't hear what we're saying. So here's what you saw. If you were on the Jordan River that day, you saw John the Baptist and Jesus comes up and he goes, baptize me. And John, it says here, John would have prevented him. He was saying, no. And you look down in the water and you saw John going, And Jesus says, oh, it's appropriate. It's right that you and me fulfill all righteousness. And John's saying, man, I'm not doing this. He would have prevented it. He would say, no. And Jesus had to talk him into it. I just imagine, I can see John, maybe his back is to him or Jesus is back to him, and all you can see is like, the Greek here is emphatic, and it's continuous. It means that this was an emphatic conversation, and it was ongoing. It wasn't just like, come on, John, you got to baptize. It was like, I'm not baptizing. You know what I mean? You're the one. You're the mighty one. I'm not the one. You need to baptize me. I'm a sinner. You're not. That's the conversation that happened. John was saying, no, 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 no. And Jesus said, John, it's fitting. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And John was baptizing no sin, who would become sin for us. And John knew it. John's like, I don't baptize you in for sin, for repentance, because you have no sin. And Jesus said, no, it's right. It's fitting that you baptize me. This will fulfill all righteousness. This will show from day one of my ministry why I'm here. I don't know sin, but I will become sin that you might become the righteousness of my Father in me. From day one, right off the bat. John didn't get it at first. He was not going to baptize him. You don't know sin. I'm not baptizing you. You and I become the righteousness of him now because he died for us. You and I now get the opportunity to die to our old self, to change our thinking, to change our way, change our direction, to become new life. He became sin who knew no sin, that we can become the righteous new person for him. It's all there. It's right there in Jesus' baptism. I liked it too, because here's the truth about me and you. We get baptized like Jesus got baptized. Holy Spirit, the Father, this is my son, to you and I. The whole Trinity, the whole Godhead takes place in you and I's life when we come to Christ. You know, when you receive Christ as your Savior, when you accept his death on the cross, the Spirit comes down and in, and the Father says, behold, my son, my daughter. Welcome to the family. It happened. That's Jesus. He said, I got to fill up everything that's right, everything that's going to happen. I've got to fill this picture up. So I don't know sin, but I become sin, that you might become the righteous person. The Spirit comes down. You see the Spirit come down upon me. You hear my Father say, because that's what's going to happen to you. It's my opinion that baptism in the New Testament early on was kind of their outward expression of accepting Christ. In our churches today, it's kind of become this thing where you walk an aisle or you pray a prayer. I think it was much more normal for them back then. If you were going to accept Christ, okay, get baptized. And that's why there wasn't classes to take and there wasn't catechisms or other things. It was just like, oh, you believe this? Here's the word. You believe this? Okay, well, let's baptize you. You ever think about Acts chapter 8? Peter's first big message. You ever think about that? 3,000 people got saved and baptized in one day. All who heard the word were saved and baptized, it says. No proof needed, no class to take. You believe? Get in the water. I don't know how they did it. How many guys they have baptism? How'd that happen? They all get it. 100 at a time. What are we going to do? That's what it says. Read it. Read it for yourself. See, I say it's easy. I say it's real easy. I say if you have the Spirit of God in you and the Holy Father above has accepted you, and you say to yourself, look, all's I know now, I love Jesus. My Jesus, I love thee now. I'm in the water. I'm showing this world the love of Christ. In Jesus' own baptism, we see so much. So, let me show you a couple things that it takes for you to be baptized. For Jesus. Number one, you hear and understand. And wherever you're at, so let's just erase this room clean. Wherever you're at, whatever your background is, you've never been baptized, you have been baptized, whatever it is, moving forward from this day, this is what a person needs to know to be baptized into Christ. Number one, you need to hear and understand the gospel. You just need to hear and understand the gospel. If you're old enough, if you can comprehend that you can hear and understand the gospel, that's step one. You can be baptized. And that's why so many question it, because Kathy, you were baptized when you were what? 5, 6, 7? You were a teenager when you got baptized? Okay, so you brothers and sisters were baptized when they were pretty young, weren't they? Weren't some of them really young? You were 8. Okay. So and I think Andrew may have been baptized before you, but he was 10. Okay, so there you have it. You have my kids are baptized 8, 9, 10. Okay? And so were they old enough to hear and understand the gospel? And I made a determination that yes, they are. I'm okay with that. Some of you question because you were baptized somewhere back there and you're really looking back and you're going, I'm not sure I understood. I'm not sure I got it. Oh, I comprehend it now. I really hear and comprehend it now. I get it. And so I'm thinking maybe I want to be baptized again. I understand that. That's good. That's fine. Do it. There's no limit. There's nobody that says, oh, you can't be baptized again. You can. Because number one, every story in here, I've looked through this New Testament. I'm looking for people to be baptized. And all I know is it says that you heard and you understand the gospel. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now, when they heard this, And he laid it out for him. He laid the gospel out, and he said, now you've crucified this Lord. It says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and some of you have this little bubbling, this little thing in there. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what do we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, listen, with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So, listen, here they are. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Every picture of biblical baptized baptizing, I find somebody explained it. They heard the word, they understood it, and they received it. And he said, be baptized. 3,000 people received the word and were baptized. They understood it. He kept giving it to them, exhorting them. He explained to them, and there's cutting, there's something in my heart. I don't know what it is, but I need to go with this. So, here's prerequisite one. You've heard and understand the gospel, and you receive it. I get it. I want it. I want to die. I want to show the world. I'm dying to myself. I'm a new person now. I live for Him, not for me anymore. I've accepted Him. Number two, you're willing to change. You're willing to change. You're ready to change. You've been living life with yourself at the steering wheel, and you're ready to put Him in charge over your life. You're ready to change. You're ready to repent. That's Dave and Crystal. They're repenting. They're ready. You're in charge, and I know this isn't right, so here you take this, and here you get out of my house, and here I'm ready to change. You're ready to change. You've been driving, and you're ready to sit back and let Jesus drive. You can be baptized. You can tell people, I'm ready to die and ready to come to new life and follow Jesus. You can be baptized. Number three, and this is huge for us, if we're going to make repentance a new word today, you're driven to do right. Pastor's always preaching about stop doing this, don't do that, that's sin, that's sin, that's it, that. You have something else going for you. There's something in you, and you are driven to do right. Oh, you know that baptism doesn't save you. Everybody knows that. Baptism doesn't save anyone. But you're just driven to do everything right and pleasing before Jesus. You know, when you start talking to people about baptism, they start hedging. When I was four, that doesn't save you, does it? And they're thinking of every reason why they don't need to be baptized. You're different. You're thinking of every reason to be baptized. You're thinking, what do I need to do to fill up righteousness like Jesus did? Because Jesus certainly didn't need to be baptized for his sins and his new life. He needed to be baptized, but it wasn't that. He didn't need baptized to be saved. He says, we're going to fill up all righteousness here, John. I know you're trying your best to talk me out of it. I'm going to talk you in. I'm just going to tell you, we're going to do everything. We're going to fulfill righteousness here. And you're that way. When it comes to righteousness, you understand it. You get it. You're ready to. He's in charge of my life, so I want to show it. And I'll be honest with you. I'm not looking for excuses not to do it. I'm looking for excuses to do it. I want to do everything Jesus wants me to do. I want to fill up righteousness for Jesus. I want to fulfill. He didn't have to. I certainly don't have to, but I want to because I want to do right. If Jesus said, crawl across your hands and knees from this side of Goshen to Elkhart, I'm going to do it because I want to fill everything. I just want to do everything. I want to fill up. And you are driven. I mean, you are going to steps to learn to go to, man, I'm going to help this thing. I'm going to push this thing. I want to be Jesus. I want to fill it up in me.
you can be baptized. We can do that. We can fill you up. You got that little thing inside of you? It's like, man, I need to do this. I don't know why. It doesn't make sense. I don't know why, but I was baptized 6 times, and I but I just think I just want to, yes, Jesus, I love you even now. Today is the day. I love you. Oh, Lord, I love you now. Dunk me, Terry. Dunk me again, Terry. Dunk me again. Yes. Amen. Amen. You just have this thing. You have this drive. And you're honored. Number four, you are honored. It's not embarrassing. It's not embarrassing. Oh, man, my hair's going to get wet, and I look really funky in a wet T-shirt. I know. But you're just going to be really, really honored. Because you know what this is. You know what this is. You know that this is the Savior telling me, look what I'm doing for you. I became sin so that you could die to yourself and become righteous with me and my Heavenly Father and my Spirit poured out on you, completely forgiven. I know you're a wretch, but I love you and I give you complete purity, and you're honored to follow your Savior, to mimic your Savior, to walk in your Savior's footsteps, go under the water and come up and be recognized to be in Christ. And you know it's an honor. You know it's amazing. You know you don't have to do it, but you're honored. Like Jesus did it. You're honored. In Acts chapter 8, maybe this is you. Maybe this guy is you. Acts chapter 8. Philip was told by an angel of the Lord to go south on the road. There's a road that goes between Jerusalem to Gaza. It's a desert area. And he said, I want you to go down there. There's an appointment I've set up for you. And he got there, and it says that the Spirit said to Philip, you see that chariot over there? I want you to walk over to that chariot and start talking to that man in that chariot. And so Philip ran to him, verse 30. Philip ran to him. Are you with me? I want you to go talk to that person, Philip. And it's not like, Philip ran to him. And he said to him, do you know what you're reading? I see you have a book there or a scroll there. I see that, and I've run to you. Do you know what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him in the chariot. This man was wealthy. He was an Ethiopian eunuch to like a queen or a king of Ethiopia. He had a chariot. It was a big chariot. The poor people don't drive chariots like that. And he said, step on up into the chariot, into my office, sit down, and explain the scriptures to me. He's a wealthy man. And he does. And now the passage of scripture he was reading was like this: like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him.
Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip, Who do I ask you? Who is this prophet speaking about himself or someone else? And Philip opened his mouth and began with this scripture. And he told him the good news about Jesus. You just have to be explained the gospel of Jesus. You have to be able to comprehend the gospel of Jesus. You have to be able to understand he died. Justice was denied to him so you and I could be forgiven, not be fuel, but be fruit, and be with the Father and have the Holy Spirit, be adopted. You got to comprehend that and go, I want that. Then Philip, he opened his mouth. He began to, with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, hey, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. That's it. One class, one and done. One gospel. He was led like a lamb. He was slaughtered. Justice was denied him for us. Hey, there's water. What's stopping me? I don't have my swim trunks on, but can we get baptized? Yes. Maybe that's you. You're honored. And you're looking for water. You're ready to tell this world, look, I'm with him. I'm with him. I'm dying to myself. I'm new life, covered by the blood. Spirit's in me. God says, you're my son, and I'm honored. I'm running. I'm looking for water. Dunk me, please. What's stopping us? Can I get baptized? Can I? Oh, maybe that's you. Maybe that's you. You understand so completely the love of Christ that's been poured out on us. You're looking for water. You're not looking for an excuse. You're looking for water. You can be baptized. Let's go get in the water. Next Sunday, let's go get in the water. I'd be proud as punch to baptize you. I'd be proud as punch to say the old you's dead, the new you now lives. I'd be proud. Terry told me this morning, he said, I pray for you. I know you pastors, you carry a lot of stuff on your shoulders. And I said, Terry, you know what makes it worthwhile for me? That I'm going to baptize you. That you're going to say, I'm with Jesus. And I'm not looking for excuses. I'm looking for water. Maybe that's you. Maybe today, maybe this time, maybe this next Sunday, you're ready to say, my Jesus, I love thee now. Nothing's stopping me. I want to identify with you. I'm with you. If that's you, show up with trunks, shorts of any kind, and a t-shirt. We want you to fill up righteousness, everything that's right. We want you to fill it up for your Savior and your Lord. And don't give me no excuses. I've dunked some old people and I've dunked some young people. I dunked old Hackney over there. I dunked him right in the river. Age, physical health, it don't matter. We're gonna make it happen. Eldon and I are plenty strong. We're going to make it happen. We're going to get you out there safe. We've had some pretty shaky old timers out there. We'll get you back on shore safe. Keep talking. This is beautiful. This is beautiful, guys. If you see it anything short of just absolutely eternally amazing, beautiful, you're not getting it. You run to the water. You run to your Savior.
You stop making excuses and start looking for water, because this man died for us. Justice was denied him, and he's all love. It's all love. When people like us will stand before our Father and say, pure, spotless, pure, welcome to my kingdom, my son and my daughter in Christ. You run to the water. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your great, amazing love. Thank you for baptism and repentance. Lord, it's our heart's desire to renew and revive these words and these concepts that are given such secondhand status today in so many places. But Lord, we know it's the beauty in the heart of our Savior, and we're looking for water. So I pray, Lord, use us. Few but mighty, use us to be a light, I pray. Bless those even now. I know there are some of my brothers and sisters here, and they're in their heart, they're thinking, they're trying to decide. They feel you. You're in there speaking to them. They know you're there. And you're coaching and telling them, look for water. Lord, may you give them peace and faith and courage to identify with you today. To say today, my Jesus, I love thee now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We have a song. We're going to close with a song. Sing this to Jesus.